So we want to finish off. We were just doing this Hakdama. We'll finish off tonight. There's one other aspect I wanted to explore in the couple of nafkaminas. And, okay, so we've been talking about... we'll just wait 1 second for people to come in. Oh, my goodness. Probably everybody was in the wrong place, and now they're... Is this a longer-term...
This is because of the clothing sale.
Oh, the clothing sale.
Remember the annual clothing sale?
Sure, I was going to say. I'm so fond of that.
It expanded from the church next door.
I hear, yeah. So, I didn't even get a chance to experience. Usually we walk through the clothing sale. It's like one of the hallmarks of my year.
All year round.
Yeah, it keeps me going. But okay. All right. So we'll, with that personal note, I guess we'll move on to the shiur. So, again, we've been discussing a very, very critical question, the relationship between the tashlumin of Nezek and the Iser of Nezek, and we've talked about various different perspectives. I think last week we mostly spent, if I recall, trying to analyze the position of the Rambam, noting that the Rambam speaks about the prohibition to damage other people's property, even if you're willing to pay, in a very singular case, in Perakei Hilchosin Ziskei Mamun Halacha Aleph, the case that I was characterizing as a situation where you have a preemptive strike, right? You aggressively preempt him from damaging you by inflicting loss upon him. And I was suggesting that perhaps, again, it's my own speculation, but that the reason that the Rambam all of a sudden makes mention of the prohibition to be mazik acherim is because that's where he needs it. Typically, even if there was no such prohibition, it would just be plain the law of fairness and logic. Namely, if I inflict a financial loss upon you, then I should be, obligated to restore your financial well-being. However, in a case where there's a discrepancy between, the loss, let's say, and the apparent fairness of it, but it doesn't all equal out, so that's where you need a kind of a boost. That's where you need some sort of an additional justification. And that's what I was trying to explain, was that the case where the only way for me to prevent you from damaging me is for me to launch a preemptive strike, which leaves you with a loss. And I was, comparing it to war. This is an issue in war and peace. Again, you might distinguish between war and peace and, the personal right to protect your property and not to absorb, an initial loss about it. Certainly, it could be mechalic between them. But the question is the same. In other words, if I'm asking, what constitutes or what is the fine line between a defensive preemptive strike, right, that inflicts collateral damage and a pretext where, I'm using, the notion of a preemptive strike just to attack you. So the answer may very well be, do I have to, two things. Number one, do I try to minimize the collateral damage as much as possible? If I'm truly in a defensive posture, notwithstanding my kumvase aggressiveness, then I'm going to try to limit as much as I can, as much as is reasonable, obviously, without, putting myself in further jeopardy. I'm going to try to, minimize casualties on the other side. Hence, the Rambam's comment that in the case in question, if these animals are lurking around and clearly they're about to attack your domain and cause you a loss, so the Rambam says you have the right to preemptively, aggressively neutralize them. But when you do that, do it with a shchita kshera, right? In other words, if you just, shot them or shechted them like an avela, it's in order to say, well, they have no right to attack me, and I'm trying to, protect my own interests. It's a self-defensive act. That's true. If there's no other way to stop the attack, that probably would also be legitimate. But to the extent that there is a reasonable way to be effective and also to minimize casualties, that is a litmus test, so I'm suggesting, that's a litmus test in international affairs, and also in interpersonal affairs, as to whether or not something is a pretext or it really is a defensive action. If it's a defensive action, then you want to be effective, but you want to minimize collateral damage. That's number one. But on the other side of it, when you say, well, you know, if it's really defensive, then you should always be passive. And, you know, that's what Gandhi, I guess, said, which is one of the reasons that, you know, although there are many admirable aspects of his philosophy, it certainly is totally out of step with a Yahdus's view that one has the right of self-defense, even if that means hashkem vahargo, even if that means, you know, taking proactive measures. But the point is that you can only do that, right, when the other person has no right to inflict upon you. You know, you don't have to absorb the first blow because he has no right, you know, to be inflicting upon you the first blow. And that's exactly what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, you know, there's a loss here, try to minimize it, but you have every right to defend yourself proactively because he has no right to be attacking you. So that was one. That was the Niskeimama. Then we went on to analyze the Rambam's view in Hilchos Chovel Umazik. I was trying to suggest that if you look very carefully in Perek Aleph, especially in Perek Hay, that there were three halachos at least where the Rambam makes reference to Adam HaMazik being some sort of an Aveira or Avon. But it's more than that. It's the way that the Rambam, not going to do the whole thing again because we did it, the way the Rambam read the Mishnah in Achovel, where the Mishnah says that when it comes to Chavala, right, you there's an obligation to pay. Like if somebody assaults someone else, he has to pay. But in order for the tshuva to be effective, he also has to be mefayis. He has to apologize and he has to mollify, you know, the victim. And then the Mishnah goes on to say that, you know, enin amochel, not these words, but this halacha, enin amochel al rashei varim, that you have no right, no one has a right to allow another party to inflict bodily harm on him, right? Either we don't believe that he means it, or it's the Rabbeinu Shalom's body and not your body, whatever it is. This is that rule, that what the Gemara calls Einad Mochal Roshei Barim. However, when it comes to Dinei Hezek, Nezek, not Chavala, there if the fellow, you know, formulates it, you know, very carefully, then I could say to him, I could say to somebody, you want to break my vase, you know, Almanas Lipater, you can do that. And that's how the Mishnah ends. And then the Mishnah has one final line where they say that, however, nobody has the right to authorize someone else, right, to damage a third person's property. Reuven can't say to Shimon, burn down Levi's field. Because, you know, you can't do that in Dinei Mamon, you can't do it in Mazik, and you can't do it in Chavala. Because, obviously, that's not your domain. So that's what the Mishnah says in Achovel. And if you look carefully, this is what I tried to show last week, and the Rambam in Hilchos Chovel HaMazik in Perek Hay, is that he expands significantly every halacha in that Mishnah. So the Mishnah says you need pius in Chavala. The Rambam says, ma bein mazik l'chavala. You need pius in Chavala, you don't need it in Mazik. Implying that you need tshuva in Mazik, because it's an Aveira. You need kapara. He says the kapara of Mazik, right, doesn't require pius. Where the kapara of Mazik? Whoever said anywhere that there's kapara in Mazik? So that's the Rambam's assumption. That works in with the Rambam in Perek Aleph, Hukos Tshuva Halakha Aleph, where he says that you have to do tshuva for all sorts of aveiros, including, and he mentions Chovel, and he mentions Mazik. And again, the Kesef Mishnah says, like, where did he get it from? Where does it say anywhere that you have to do tshuva for Mazik? Maybe you just have to write a check. Right? And the fascinating, the Kesef Mishnah points to the Mishnah and Achovel as the source. But if you read that Mishnah, that's not a source for anything. It's only a source the way the Rambam read it. I mean, the Rambam read that Mishnah as contrasting Chovel and Mazik. The Mishnah doesn't say anything about Mazik. Just says something about Chovel. But the way the Rambam wrote it, he starts off, you can tell, he says, Ma bein Chovel amazik. And then two halachos later, the Rambam says, the od hefresh yesh bein Chovel amazik, meaning number two.
Sounds like an ein bein.
What?
Ein bein.
Yeah, like, exactly. And the number two is, you know, ein anam mochal rosh evarim, which is true, that the Mishnah does contrast, but without any fuss or fanfare. And then number three is that the Rambam, you know, when he talks about, you know, the fact that you can't authorize an agent, you know, to do damage to someone else or to assault someone else, right? So the way he formulates it is that, you know, you're not allowed to appoint an agent. If you appoint an agent to damage someone else's property, then the agent is going to be obligated, not the mishaleach, because ein shliach dvar avera. It's not any different than physical assault. So the Mishnah didn't say that there's a din of physical assault, the hu adin, there's a din of mazik. The Mishnah just said about both of them equally that you can't appoint, you know, somebody to inflict this kind, whether it's physical assault or monetary damages on another party, equal. The Rambam had it, again, as if there's a contest. The Rambam read the Mishnah, Nachovel, as in a very dialectical manner, but the tension in both directions is, what is the relationship between Chovel and Mazik? That's totally the Rambam's read. And it comes from, I wouldn't say nowhere, because that's not, doesn't sound right, but it comes from his global understanding, not from the words of the Mishnah, that's what I'm trying to say. Agav, in that same Rambam, that last one, Perikei Halachi Yud Gimel, the Rambam says that even though the Mishaleach is Potur and Dine Mamanis, right, he shares in the Avon, right, of the Mazik or the Chovel, because he's like a partner in it. Now that's language that goes beyond the regular din of Lifnei Iver L'Sitein Michshal. Not talking about, he mentions Michshal. So clearly what the Rambam was saying was that a Mazik and the Mishaleach of the Mazik are both Avaryanim. So the point is, when you put all together the Rambams in the two Rambams in Uchas Tshuva and the three Rambams in Uchas Chovel HaMazik, what emerges is that the Rambam felt that there was this ongoing tension between Chovel and Mazik. Adam HaMazik. Adam HaMazik is a kind of diluted Chovel, right? Which is therefore pulled with Chovel into certain things. That's why the Rambam dealt with the dinim of Adam HaMazik in Uchas Chovel. That's my theory. That's why he was so insistent that the Mave of the Mishnah cannot be Chovel, even though it's a debate in the Gemara. The Rambam says, you should know, we don't accept that. What's the difference? Everybody agrees it's something called Adam HaMazik. What difference will there be Paschal like Rav or Shmuel? It's important for the Rambam, because the Rambam wanted to take Adam HaMazik away from Niskei Mamon, to skip two steps, Gneva and Gezela, and to put it with Chovel HaMazik. So that upgraded Mazik, but even as he did that, he knew it wasn't quite Chovel, because Chovel is Ayin Tachas Ayin, would have been Mamish, it's a Kofer Halacha. We discussed that also. So you get in the Rambam two opposite things, that's what I mean about the tension, happening at the same time. Chovel and Mazik are always looked at together. On the one hand, that upgrades Mazik, you know, to quasi-Chovel status. At the same time, we keep being reminded how it's only quasi. It doesn't quite, you know, achieve that standard because it is still money. So when it comes to pius, there's a difference, but there's still tshuva, right? Ein ana mochal rashei varim, but you could be mochal on your money, right? In both cases, we say in shliach dvar avera, but even though it's not clear in the Mishnah, it's almost like we know the Chovel part, and then we know the Mazik part. And then finally, I think I've done this last week also, with regard to Katan. Right? There's a discussion whether or not a Katan, you know, who's you have three discussions of Katan. A Katan who is Chovel, right? A Katan who is Mazik, and a Katan whose property is Mazik. Those are three things that we're talking about. Chovel, Adam Amazik, Nizke Mamo. So the Mishnah says in Hachovel that, you know, that a katan and a shkerish and a shota pigiyasan ra. That's the language of the Mishnah. What do you mean pigiyasan ra? Like, you know, they're bad news. Stay away from those, you know, human entities, you know, shkerish, shota, and katan. Don't tangle with them. It's all going to end badly. Why? Because if they get damaged, you know, then you have to pay. But if they damage, they walk away. That even rhymes, right? So then the Mishnah goes on and says the same thing is true by Eved V'Isha, right? Kiyasan Ra, because, you know, again, if you damage them, you pay. If they damage, but then the Mishnah says, however, you know, when the woman is, you know, is independent, let's say a gerushin takes place or her husband dies, let's say financially independent, let's say, there's the assumption was that, you know, their money is pooled in the context of the marriage, or the Eved, you know, becomes Meshuchrar, so then they'll have to pay for what they did earlier. So the question is, and is that true also for the Katan and the Cheresh and the Shota, when the Katan is Miskadel, or the Shota or the Cheresh, you know, get cured, do they have to pay for the crimes that they committed when they were young? Right? That's the question. So Rashi and Bava Kamma says about Garmi or Adam Amazik, a certain case, I think, you know, and in that case, the assumption was that the damage took place when he was young, and he has to pay when he's older. So does that mean that the same thing is true for Chovel? So the Hagos HaShri, the Or Zeruah, speaks about this in HaChovel, and previously on the Gemara Daf Lamed Tesemid base. They say, listen, you see from the world of Mazik, Adama Mazik, that you know, that you have to pay when you become older. So who adin chovel? I, the Mishnah, only says that you pay when you're older when it's talking about an Eved and an Isha. So the Mishnah wasn't being fully comprehensive. That's the view of the Hagos HaShri. But many of the Achronim suggest that just because Rashi thinks that Adam HaMazik Bekatnuso pays when he's a gadol doesn't mean that the same thing is true for Chovel. Why? Because in Chavala it's more Iser oriented. That's the point. And therefore being a minor, right, isn't just a bank account problem, it's a Maisavera problem. But when it comes to Gezel or Nezek, right, which is more oriented towards, it's a monetary crime. So the problem is he doesn't have his own you know, you can't collect from him at this point, you know, temporarily, or he doesn't have his own money, right? But Kishin is Gadel. Why can't you charge him? So that is the suggestion they make, but Hagos HaShri doesn't go with it. He compares, you know, Adama Mazik and Chovel. The Rambam in Hilchos Chovel says very clearly that a Katan, Piyasan Ra, even the Kishin is Gadel. Right? And what's fascinating is that when you look in Hilchos Toin V'Nitan, that he seems to equate Mazik and Chovel. So it's another example where the Rambam felt that Chovel and Mazik go together. So the point is that the bigger picture in the Rambam is that the Rambam thinks that there's something called Chovel, something called Orma Mazik, and a third category called Niske Mamo. Okay. Yeah.
Why isn't an Isha and an Eved, if they're not obligated to pay themselves, why isn't the husband or the master responsible?
Well, I think the problem is that when you do that, you can create, that's the Mishnah and Yadayim kind of that we'll get to on Dav Gimel Amud Aleph, which is that, you know, it's not, when somebody's a bar das, right, and they go out on their mazik, or Chovel, right? So, charging, you know, someone else, you know, with cleaning up the mess becomes a problem. Now, again, a problem d'oraisa or a problem d'rabbana? So that's an interesting debate. The Rambam pashtus of the mission, submission yadayim, is that it's a problem d'rabbana, the problem d'oraisa, sorry. The Me'iri and Av Gimel and Bava Kamma says it's a problem d'rabbana. Shema Yaknitenu, like there'll be strife. Let's say the Eved wants to get free, or he doesn't like his Adon. So he's constantly burning down the neighbor's barn, you know, and the Adon has to pay for it. Policy-wise, that's a disaster, right? So is that, therefore, the din? It's a kind of a din d'rabbanan? Or is it that the very fact that that could happen is an indication that notwithstanding the shared bank account, it's not in his control, meaning the owner, you know, the Baal. And therefore, it's not fair to charge him.
The rice. Even a cotton, the father should be responsible.
Right, so I'm saying it's the same. Well, you know, cotton also just might not have a maisa aveira, or it just might not be a legal action. But we'll get to it, we'll get to that. Okay, so what remains to be, I just want to do one more thing before we start the Shalak Vitaria, and that's the, I want to follow up on the Rabbeinu Yonah idea, which is that maybe the source for Iser Nezek is Gezel. So that's Rabbeinu Yonah, I think we read it last time. Have it in your sheets. Rabbeinu Yonah is an Avos. It's a particularly fascinating passage, I think I mentioned the last time. It's on page 3. It's line 6. The context is fascinating. It's the beginning of Avos. So Avos begins with the enumeration of the Mesorah. Shalshelas HaKabbalah. Moshe kibul Torah miSinai, Mesorah liYoshua. So Rabbeinu Yonah, in his very famous commentary on Avos, right, comments as follows. Bein Torah Shebichsav, Bein Torah Shebalpeh, Shatorah b'ferusha nitna, the Torah was given with its commentary. She'im lo kein yaf shalameda be. Sharei kasuv lo sigzal, v'chol nazikim b'chalal osu alav. V'hein hein na Torah shaya kabbalas Moshe b'Sinai, afal pishalo nichtavu. So the example that Rabbeinu Yonah wants to give to demonstrate that without a Mesorah you couldn't know the details of the Torah, you can't just get everything by reading it, he says, is our issue. What's fascinating about it is what he says is hardly embraced by all, or obvious at all, and therefore, to exemplify Mesorah, you know, this is kind of a puzzling example. Although, on second thought, I think it's an amazing example. Okay. Meaning, Rabbeinu Yonah basically says the following. Where's the Iser of Nezek? Exactly the issue that we've been discussing. And his answer is, it's Gezel. But he's basically saying, he doesn't say that anywhere. Because when Torah says, the words lo sigzol, right, or lo signovu, have a very specific meaning. Right? So signovu is you steal into somebody's basement and you stealthily walk away with their property. Right? Lo sigzol is vayigzol sachanis miyad ha-mitzri. Like grab somebody's property forcefully from him. What does that do with Nezek? Right? So Ben Yonah says, we wouldn't have known this if not for our Mesorah. So, again, since most people don't think it's true, you know, is that really a good example of Mesorah? The answer is it is. It is, because there are two issues in Mesorah. One is the Mesorah of details, and this isn't a good example of that. But there's also Mesorah of a way of thinking about things, and a Mesorah about interrelationships, which is much more amorphous, and not any less important, frankly. So, what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying is, this is how, you know, I was brought up. This is my Mesorah about Mazik, which is quite amazing. Anyways, it has some very important implications and deep roots. I already mentioned, I think last time, we'll just look at it again, that in my opinion, the Tur picked up with this on line 10. Kishem she'asar ligno v'ligzol, mamon chaveiro kach asar lahazik mamon shelo. Just as, right, a loaded phrase, you're not allowed to steal and to rob, you're also not allowed to be mazik mamon chaveiro. So the Bach, who is in denial about this, you know, basically says, Kalomar, in other words, Lotema deleke isura ligno veligzol, kidasib bikroi, aval hazik mamun shaloin bo isura mishalim lo hazek, ela isura namiika. What the Bach did was, he said, don't think that the Tur is saying that the Isser Lahazik is under the rubric of Gzela and Geneva. That's not what he's saying. He means, just as there's an explicit pasuk that says that it's also Ligno Veligzol, and you might have thought that since there's no explicit pasuk about Mazik, that it is just a matter of payment, it's just a matter of Tashlumin. When you damage, you pay, but there's no Iser. Kamash Malan, you should know, it's not true that just like there's Gnevo Gazela, there's an Iser Lahazik. But not that the Iser Lahazik is under the rubric of Gzela. What's it under? He doesn't tell us. The Bach. And then he wonders whether it isn't Baltashchis, which is fascinating too. Okay. However, if you look at Tosis here on Beis Amud Aleph, Dibur Masel Hashor V'Habor, so they're trying to figure out the what is the mission of, you know, Arba Ovos Hazikin, Hashor Habor Amava V'Heb. We're going to start reading in just a second. So if Mave is Adam, right, where is everything in the Mishnah? Where does it come from? So Tosfos Masal Shorva Bar Pirsh Bekuntres, Kali Rashi, Kaseder Shenichtivu Beparsha Sidran BeMishnah. The order of the Mishnah is based on Psukim. Very interesting. Yafagav Deleman Damar Tana Shar Laraglo Lo Ava Kaseder Parsha. The Regal Nafkan BeVishilach Has Beira. The Ksiv Basar Bor. Depending on how you understand all these things, some are in order and some are not. Mikomokom Shem Shor Ksiv Kodem Beparsha. Hainu Negicha Dekeret. Ulaman Damar Mava is Adam, according to the view that Mava is Adam. So Mava is in the Mishnah, right? Afal Gav de Lebasar Havara, Psiv Beparshas Emar, Make Behema Yishamena, Dahainu Adam the Azik Shor. So Make Behema Yishamena is Adam Amazik. And that comes, right, in Emor, way after Havara, which is in Parshas Mishpatim. Of course, it's noteworthy that if this is the makor for Adam HaMazik, it's not in the whole parsha of Mishpatim at all. Something which I'm sure was not lost at all on the Rambam. Meaning the idea that Adam HaMazik may be total. The other Ovos Hazikim are all in Parshas Mishpatim. Okay? Anyways, that's not the point Tos is making. Tos is just saying, well, if Mava is Adam, then we no longer have the Arba Ovos Hazikin in the order of the Psukim. Okay? Because this is in Vayikra and the others are in Shmos. So he says, okay. Lo chosh l'shanosa k'seder parsha v'sharocha kolkach v'shanu k'seder lo harei. Right? The Sefer Shemava kodim la'ayla hever. He says, yeah, you're right. If you hold Mava's Adam, then apparently the order in the Mishnah is not based on, you know, the order of the Psukim, or at least not based on the order of the Psukim alone. Okay. That's an interesting issue, not our problem. The next line is our problem. Rabbeinu Tam Pirish, the shame Adam Ksiv Parsha Kodem Kodem, Ki Yignov Ish Shor, Vuhu Echad Me'avas Zikin Diktani Lebebraisa Begemara. Okay, so that's peculiar. He says Adam is mentioned, and therefore Mave, you know, can be in the right order. Where's Mava mentioned? Kiyignov. And what Tosis is referring to is Vehu echad mi'avos hazikin diktani lo bebraisa begemara. Later on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara has an expanded list of, if you look at it for just a second, of the avos of nezikin. Look at the two dots. No, I'm sorry. Dalet Amud Beis. Dalet Amud Beis Tehei Amud Aleph. The two dots on top. Tani Rabbi Oshi. Everybody have that? Shlosha Asar Avos Nezikin. Where we know four, right? Rabbi Oshi had 13. Okay, what are the 13? Shomer Chinam, Shomer Chinam, Ashol, Nos Yisachar, Vatsocher. The four Shomrim. Nezek Tzar, Ripui, Sheva, Suboshes. Right, the five Chabalos. Right, the arba the masnisin, hatleisar. Okay, then you have Rabbi. Just skip down a little bit more. Tani, the next asterisk towards the bottom of the page. Tani Rabchia Eser Ba'arba Avos Nezikin. Tashul Mekeval, Tashul Medal Vehei, Ganav Gazlan, Edom Zomim, Onis Mefata, Motzi Shemra, Metamim Medamea Menasech. Vahani Tlesar, Pusli Raboshia is 13. You have another 11, 24. So that's what Tosis means. And the list of 24 includes Gneva. What does that have to do with our Mishnah? Then we're trying to explain why if the word Bave means Adam Amazik, that, you know, not so terrible because it's in the Parsha, and it's in the Parsha maybe even in the right order. What? It's in the Parsha, Gneva's in the Parsha, and Gneva's an Avnezek according to Rabbi Chiya. What does that have to do with our Mishnah, and what does that have to do with Adam Amazik? So it sounds like what Tosis really means is that the lists in the Brisa are an expansion of the Arba Avos Azik. A. And that B, Adam Amazik and Adam Hagonev are permutations of the same thing. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, right, and probably the Tur was very influenced by Rabbeinu Yonah and Avos in general. Probably that's what he really meant. That makes sense. Moreover, there's a Tosa Rush in Gittin, Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, also suggests that Nezek stems from Gezel. And remember also that the Tur is the son of the Rush. Okay. So notwithstanding what the Bach writes, it sounds like there's Rabbeinu Yonah, there's the Tur, there was the Rush, at least one view of the Rush, there's an allusion to it in the Bali Tosis. According to the Chachmei Ashkenaz, there may even be a stronger allusion, and also one which is very consequential. Look here at the Gemara and Daf Samech in Bava Kamma. Very fascinating Gemara. Even more fascinating, Mordechai. Gemara says as follows. This is on page 4, starting from line 13. Vayisaved David, everybody have it? Page 4? Vayitaved David vayomar mi yashkeni mayim mibor beis lachem asher bashar. A pasuk. Okay? So the Gemara here. Vayivku shloshas hagiborim b'machane plishtim vayishavu mayim mibor beis lachem asher bashar. The Gemara says, "My kami boyle." The Masorah is that they were asking a question to David HaMelech. They were asking him a legal question. That was what was going on here in the Shar of Beis Lechem. It was like a Bezdin. They were inquiring from him, about what the halacha was in a certain case. So then the Gemara says, what were they asking him? Amar Avraham Rav Nachman, fascinating Gemara. Tamun be'esh kami boyle. So one version is, they were asking David HaMelech, what's the halacha? Is there a ptur tamun be'esh? Meaning if you burn somebody's property down and there's something that, is hidden, right, out of sight, in other words, that also burns and is destroyed in the process, but it wasn't, it wasn't transparent, let's say, before or during the burning, right, only, so there's this discussion that maybe Eish is Pater B'Tamun. So they're asking David HaMelech, what's the story with Tamun Be'esh? Okay. Ikrab Yehuda, Ikrab Anan, Upashtole, May the Pashtole. Okay, that's one suggestion. Interesting. Rav Huna Amar, Gedishim de Saorim de Yisrael Havu, Tavim Etamri, Plishne Behu. What really happened was something else. The Jews had some stocks of or piles of Saorim that they owned, and the Plishtim were hiding there. They were like camouflaging themselves in the Jewish Saorim. Okay? The Kamibayle, Ma'u lahatzil atzmo b'mamon kabeiro. Are you allowed to destroy, right, these Gedishim, right, in order to protect themselves or not? By the way, here, it's fascinating also, there is an interesting debate in the Rishonim. The pashtus, what's the issue? Ma'u lahatzil atzmo b'mamun chaver, it's pikoch nefesh. Right. So here's where Rashi, and there's a whole discussion that revolves around this, Rashi says, the yatzilel, shelo yisrafua, ho v'osr lahatzil atzmo b'mamun chaver. That was the conclusion. I should just read the conclusion first. The question is, can you burn down these things, cause a monetary loss to your fellow Jew, in order to save yourself? So the Gemara says, shokolei, osr lahatzil atzmo b'mamun chaver. You're really not allowed to do this. This is why it's a problem. But you are a melech, min David a melech, u melech poreitz lasos loderech, right? Vein mochin biyado. The king has certain prerogatives, you know, beyond that of a regular citizen, and therefore he can do what he wants. Fine. Good. So Rashi explains that what this means is that iboilu ichai, sorry, shelo yisrafuhu, the osu lahatzil atzmo b'mamun chaver. Simple pshat of Rashi is, Rashi says you're not allowed to cause an economic loss in order to save yourself. And this triggered an enormous outcry and discussion. What about the din of pikuach nefesh? Right? The only thing that's omid b'fnei pikuach nefesh is gili arayos, shvichus damim, and avodah zarah. What does lahatzil atzmo b'mamun chaver mean? So I'm not going to go into that right now, but that's a, you should know, that's a big, big discussion. Rashi had the is working with the Girsa and the Gemara, which is whether or not mutter or osur lahatzil atzmo b'mamun chaver. What is the isur? Those are two problems. Number one, why should be also b'makom pikuach nefesh if that's really what's happening? That's something I'm not going to get into now, but that's a massive question. But the language itself, and I mean, the whole issue doesn't is a non-starter without the language and Rashi's understanding, and that is apparently the samisar. What isar did he do here?
Is
mazik an isar? That's what we've been discussing for the last few weeks. So if you have that girsa and you have that understanding, which is tremendously problematic anyway from other points of view, right? In terms of pikuach nefesh and so on, at least you have an explicit gemara that says that osur mahazik. So what's fascinating is that Tosas and the Rambam both either changed or had or ignored the girsa of osur, and instead, they discuss the question whether chayiv. The way they wanted to know, look at just for a minute Tosas. Tosas says, Ma'u lahatzil atzmo b'mamun chavero, iboy le'ichayiv l'shalem kishihitzil atzmo b'pnei pikuach nefesh. See how Tosas reframed the question? This is the question. Of course you're allowed to save yourself. Maybe we could go further and say that there's not even an Isser Mazik anyway. The question is, when you... cause when you escape, right? When you accomplish pikuach nefesh, right? By virtue of someone else's financial loss, right? Does that obligate you to repay them or not? That's a totally different question, right? That's an open question. You're supposed to, you know, be matzil atzmecha, and it's mutter. Moreover, maybe there never is an Isur Lahazik anyway, Doraisa. That's the second point. But does that mean you have to pay? Right?
The same question we discussed last week. Who pays the Shoichet? It's the same question.
What?
It's the same question we discussed last week. Who pays
No.
Why not?
No. Because last week we were talking about a gratuitous act of violence that I'm not obligated to absorb. Meaning, the owner of the izim, is obligated to make sure that his animals don't invade somebody else's property, and therefore there's a clear culpable party and an innocent party, okay. Right? And even though the culpable party ends up losing money, if indeed a defensive preemptive strike is justified, because it's usur lo lahazik mamun chavero, then that's acceptable. Here we're not talking about that at all. We're talking about what happens in the following circumstance. A threatens B with his life, and B saves himself and ends up causing a loss to C in the process. Does B owe money to C? B didn't do anything wrong. B didn't have some other way of avoiding inflicting a loss on C. C has nothing to do with the whole story. Right? If it was A who suffered a loss because B saved himself in a manner that triggered that loss, that would be comparable to last week's case. Okay. Anyways, so also lahazik or chayiv lahatz, and by the way, this is the view of the Rambam as well, in Perek Ches, Hilchos Chovel, you have Rambam?
Yeah.
Thank you. Perek Ches, Hilchos Chovel, Halacha Beis, and then I'll take the question, just give me one more second. Perek Ches, Halacha Beis, B'medvar Mamurim, here, one second. Hamosar Mamun Chaver B'yad Anos Chayiv L'Shalim in a Yafesh in a Chasach. B'medvar Mamurim B'shehera Hamosar Me'atzmo Avalimonsu Goyim or Yisrael Anos Laharos. Let's say somebody puts a gun to your head and he demands that you, you know, reveal some secret, you know, that will enrich him at the expense of another party. The Hera Hareza Potam and Atashlumim B'imnasam and Asam B'yad Apa B'shuanos Chayiv L'Shalim Shamatzil Atzmo B'mamun Chavero Chayiv L'Shalim. Comes from this Gemara. Namely, even though our Gemara wants to know whether Asur or Mutter, in fact, the Rambam and Tosis changed it. They changed the whole narrative to the question of Chiyuv Tashlum. For them, you don't have the problem of what's the story with Pikuach Nefesh, but you also don't have a Raya from here that there's an Isa L'Hazik Mamun Chaber. Yeah. Oh,
it's
actually.
The bigger question.
This, yeah.
Whether
Chavero
is allowed to keep his mamon and endanger you.
Say that one more time.
The question is, are you allowed to save yourself
the mamon Chavero? No, no, so that's a question according to Rashi.
Yeah, but the bigger question is, the Chavero, can he stand by and hold on to his money?
Well, he may not even know. Let's say he's not even there.
Yeah, okay, but if he's there, it's...
No, but again, all your question is a question within the worldview of Rashi, which is the simple reading of the Gemara, which is, the Gemara is asking, are you allowed to do this or not? Which is strange, because what happens to Pikuach Nefesh?
Well, I mean, it's a compelling question.
No, what I'm saying is, if you reread the Gemara, like Tosis and the Rambam, where the question isn't whether Asur Lahatzil or Mutter, the question is, whether or not when you're matzil atzmecha b'mamun chavercha you're chayiv l'shalem, that's a different question. On the one hand, it's not my fault, I'm just saving myself pikuach nefesh. On the other hand, it's also not his fault. Why should he suffer the $50 loss? Or the $1 million loss, whatever it was. So that, I'm just saying, your question is within the worldview of Rashi, but we already have a problem with that. Namely, what happened to the din of pikuach nefesh? One second, first there was a question back here, yeah.
A threatens B. And B,
say again?
A threatens B.
Okay.
And B saves himself by harming monetarily C.
Yeah.
So perhaps A is responsible for the damage to C.
Well, I guess if you could, you know, draw upon his resources,
yeah,
I think you're right.
Deep pockets, it's about, that's not luck. A has to pay C. If he doesn't have the money,
right, but A,
he has to go to B.
Right, but what I'm saying is, and let's say A doesn't have any money.
It's irrelevant.
What do you mean it's irrelevant? No, but B still ended up, you know, being saved. Well, that's the Gemara's question. I mean,
no, but I'm bringing up the possibility that A is responsible.
I understand, but A can be held responsible if he, you know, if he has funds and if he's around. If not, the issue isn't about A, especially here. A's a non-Jew. Right. The question is this: can you burn down your neighbor's gedishim, right, where these plishtim are, you know, hiding, you know, camouflaging themselves to kill you? And if you do, according to Rashi, the question is: are you allowed to burn them down? That's a strange thing. According to the Rambam and according to Bali Tosis, the question is, of course you're allowed to and you must burn them down. The question is, do you have to pay, not the plishtim, the Jewish owner who's here or not here? But that's the question. That's The plishtim are gone. I mean, they're, you know, or they didn't have money, or that's not going to help you. If it was a situation where you could recoup the money from the person who caused the problem, then it wouldn't be an issue. But many times you don't have that luxury. That's not the question of the Gemara. That's what I'm saying.
And what about if B doesn't cause a monetary damage, but has to break his arm to save himself?
Right, so that's also an interesting question. Again, is physical pain, this is a big issue in the Rishonim and in the Halacha, is physical pain worse than, you know, loss of life in some respects? Meaning, to cause someone else to suffer, that's a question. Whether causing somebody else, you know, physical suffering in order to save your life is permitted or not. Typically we say in the hierarchy of things that it is, but there are different views about that. Like torture. Is torture worse than death? That is a debate in the Halach. But again, not for now, because I don't want to get too deep into it. But that is an actual discussion. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was inside of the fact that the Baal HaGadish is also mechuyev to participate in Hatzolah B'tzchaber.
Right, that doesn't mean that he shouldn't get tashlumin.
It's suddenly drowning and you're...
No, I understand. No, 100%. No, we're not... That's why there's no... According to Tosis and the Rambam, the question isn't whether you're allowed to do this or not. The question is, do you have to pay for it?
Why should you...
Just because he's...
To be most nefesh...
Right, but that doesn't mean that he's not entitled...
His friend?
Right, but it doesn't mean he's not entitled... It
so
doesn't.
You're drowning in a lake, and you're going to jump in, and you're going to ruin your clothing, so you don't get compensation.
Well, that's a question. That's a question.
What?
That's a question. That's absolutely a question.
And number two,
That's a very good example.
Number two, probably the case of because Nebuchadnezzar doesn't come into play because they could have ran away. They could have oily brought.
So I'm saying there are different views. There are people who understand that Rashi is saying even b'makom pikuach nefesh, and there are those who are saying no, it isn't exactly a case of pikuach nefesh. As for the jumping in and ruining your clothes, that's part of the debate. That may very well come under the rubric of whether or not chayiv, adam, l'shalem when he's matzel atzma b'mam and chaveru, 100%. Now there still may be a difference between him taking the initiative on his own and my imposing upon him. In other words, if he jumps in the river to save me, especially if I didn't ask him to, right, then his case is a little bit less robust than if I didn't ask him and I just, grabbed his, mammon to save myself. But they're both debated. These are both debated points. Yeah.
If we hold Adam Ruad Lalim, what would be the rationale to say he's Pater for Tashlomin? Why would we think he's Pater?
Because the factor of Pikuach Nefesh is a wild card here. Adam Ruad Lalim,
but he still owes the third
part. Right, it depends what you mean by Adam Ruad Lalim. All I'm saying is, when you say Adam Ruad Lalim, we'll discuss this later in the year, but Adam Ruad Lalim, the question is that true even in the case of an Anus Gabor? Right? The Mishnah says, I think we read it already on Chavav, that Adam Ruad Lalim, Bein Er, Bein Yashen, Bein Shogeg, Bein Mezid, right? So it sounds like a pretty expansive idea. However, there's a major debate among the Rishonim. The Ramban's view in Bav Metzia is that even Onus Gomor, Adam Ruad Lalim. But the Baal HaTosfos disagree. They say there are different levels of Onus. Pikuach Nefesh may very well be an onus, or an onus gomor. Moreover, the other factor is that, because pikuach nefesh is a heter, so you don't just look at it as a lack of, we don't look at it as adam u'liolam. In that respect, it's even more flexible than adam muad liolam ba'ones gomor. Because the halakha itself is allowing, for this course of action, it's sanctioning this course of action. So when you have onus gomor, it's extenuating circumstances, but it's not a sanctioned activity. But if you say pikuach nefesh, you know, is doche everything but gimel averos or for hesker or shas shmad, whatever it is, so then this is sanctioned activity. You wouldn't call it mazik. You wouldn't call it adam mazik. You'd say it's hatzala or it's pikuach nefesh. So I think that there are good reasons on all sides, even according to the Ramban and certainly according to others, possibly to be mechalek between adam buad liolam and whether chayiv adam, you know, l'shalem kishim matzalat from moment chaver. But either way, it's an important topic. Anyway, we're not even at the part yet that these are very important, and they're important to our topic, especially the Easter question. There's another view in the Gemara. Oh, sorry. What's the other view in the Gemara? Gedishim desorim di Yisrael, who? I think we're up to line 18. Yeah? Ugedishim dadashim de plishtim. The kamibailu mau litel gedishim shall saorim di Yisrael, litel lefne behemto, amenas le shalem gedishim shall adashim de plishtim. Can he, essentially, can he do whatever it is that he's doing? We'll get to that in a second, right? With the intent, you know, to replace, right, whatever it is that is lost. I'm speaking very vaguely, so let me explain what I mean. The bipashtus, what the Gemara is asking here is, Mau litol gedishin shel se'orin di Yisrael, are you allowed to steal or take for yourself the gedishin se'orin di Yisrael, you know, litein lefnei behemto, to give as food to his animal, with the intention of repaying, it's gonef basically, amanas l'shal. Okay? And then the Gemara basically says, shochulei, right, chavol yashiv rasha, gzeila yishalem, according to this pasuk, right, afal pisha gzeila, right, mishalem, even though you stole and you're willing to pay, right, rasha hu. And then they added again, Ablatam Belachata, Melech Paretz Lasa Solderach, Vemochem Biyado. What we're saying applies to a Yotos, doesn't apply to a king. Fine. So the Pashtus, this is a Gemara, this is one of the Gemaras, this is a Gemara in Babasra, main Gemara is a Gemara in Babmetzia, where the Gemara speaks about Gonef Amanas Lemekat. Gonef Amanas Lemekat literally means you steal something with the intention of annoying the other person. Okay? Really, what it means is you intend Meirosh, at the outset, to repay him. You don't really have any contemplation at all of inflicting a monetary loss upon him. Just one more second. What's that? So it could be a practical joke, or it could be even an act of chesed. Right? The Gemara has a case in this Gemara in Bava Metzia that where he's gonef amanas l'shalem keifa. Well, how could that be? What does that mean? Let's say my neighbor is very proud. He refuses to take my tzedakah money, you know, and I'm not saying this is a likely scenario, I'm saying this could happen, right? So I steal from him, you know, and with the intention of, you know, being obligated to pay him double. It's the only way he's going to take my money, okay? So either way, but the word lemekat means to annoy, or it could be skok, as you say, it could be a trick, you know, or a joke, or annoyance, whatever the case may be. That's called gonef amanas lemekat, and this is a kind of an example of it. Well, are you allowed to take this, these gedishim with the intention of paying back? By the way, it's parallel to discussions of mazik, amanas, l'shali. Oh, anyway, the Gemara says you're not allowed to. It's very interesting. Okay, so let me just tell you what the Chachmei Ashkenaz say first, and then I'll get back to this in its own right. Look at the Bach in Chosha Mishpat Simon Lamed Aled, number 29, 30. Ganav Gazlan, line 30. Ken katsu Rambam l'shosav alpha pishi hichzir pasul eidos meishu ganav a gazal avu Rambam hishmit zem ibnei shesover debechazar smam b'skasher lo karambam fine yizbar simin b'samuk sif tezva v'ra'isi b'morchai ha'aruch. This is the part that I'm interested in. Line 32. B'shem harav Rabbeinu Yakir tamazik l'chavero b'meizid. If you knowingly damage the property of your fellow, even though you have every intention of paying, exactly what the Rambam talked about, exactly what the Mabit talked about, right? You damage, but you don't want to leave him with a permanent loss. says Rabbeinu Yakir, Nikra Rasha de Chamas. Wow. You're called a Rasha de Chamas. Kida Ashka Chamas of Perak HaKones, quoting the Gemara that we just read, the Maisa de David, Sheratza Lahadle Kedishim, Shel Sorim, it says Litol in our Gemara. Apparently the Girsa of some of the Chashmi Ashkenaz was Lisrof, or Lahazik. Kedei L'shalem, Gedishim, Sheladashim, and Korolei, they called the Pasuk in Yechazkel, Chavol, Yashiv Rasha, right? Gzela Yishalem, right? Alma, Rasha Gomorhu, V'roi L'paslo L'edus L'shvua, V'hu Adin Chova B'chaver B'mezid. Wow. So the girsa of some of the Chachmei Ashkenaz was that this Gemara is talking not about Gezela or Geneva Amanas L'meikat or Amanas L'shalem, but Mazik Amanas L'shalem. And the Gemara says you're not allowed to do that because, now here it's fascinating. Number one, Chaval Yashiv Rasha, you're a Rasha. The Chachmei Ashkenaz are saying he's a Rasha de Chamas, Rasha Gomor V'roi L'pasal Yedus. Them is fighting words. Meaning if you are, presumably B'mezid though, right? Meaning if you damage your fellow's property, B'mezid, you're Pasal Yedus?
I would think so.
Wow.
I would hope so.
Yeah? I mean, I don't think the Rambam or the Shulchan Aruch think that's true at all. Rasha de Chamas usually means you violated a very specific Iser, right? And you typically, you know, are causing a Hefsed Mamot.
You're going against the Iker of the Torah.
What do you mean going against the Iker of the Torah?
I mean, you
Mazik.
You want to be Mazik?
No one's going to make you a dinner. But we're not sure what Iser you violated, right? What's the answer? Just one more second. The answer is Chavol Yasha Rasha Gezela Yishalim. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, there's a simple answer. And that is, or the tour, maybe, or the rush, or maybe the Bali Tosis, and that is, every Nezek is under the rubric of Gezel. This Gemara basically, according to this Girsa of the Chachmei Ashkenaz, says it. I mean, you're looking at it that way anyway, but you don't have to look at it that way.
I mean,
it's Pasal Yedus. Normally we do not consider, in the world of the Rambam, right, the Rambam never ever says, in Hilchos Yedus, Perek Yud, which is the place where it would be, never says that there's a Psul Yedus Daraisa for a Mazik. Yes, for a Ghana, for a Goslin, for Rasha D'Chamas. Typically, we don't think of Mazik as a Rasha D'Chamas. Right? So, a Rasha de Chamas, I mean, the Gemara says, what's a Chamsan? Did we discuss this last week? No? If you open your Gemara just for a second, I mean, this is a well known Gemara. Here. Look on Samach Bey Samad Aleph. Look at the four lines, little towards the end of the fourth line above the, you know, from the bottom of the page. Omale Rav Ada Bereid Rav Avya. Everybody have that? Omale Rav Ada Bereid Rav Avya Le Rav Ashi. Ma Ben Gazel Le Chamsan. Omale Chamsan Yoiv Dami. Gazel Lo Yoiv Dami. Omale Yoiv Dami. Chamsan Karsle. Omale Avuna Taliv Zavin Zvini Zvini. Says the Gemara, the famous Gemara, we discussed it in past years. Lo kasha, hadama rotsani, hadalama rotsani. Right? So basically there are three levels. There's a gazlan, there's a chamsan, and there is what we call taluya v'zavin zvini zvini. Taluya v'zavin zvini zvini means, you know, that, you know, a kind of a pressured sale, where in the end the guy says, agavonsi gamra makne, you know, or the Gemara here says, v'hushama rotsani. Like he makes you an offer that you cannot refuse, that you agree to, technically. You're not thrilled about it, but you're looking at your alternatives. You know, it's better than the other ones, and therefore you agree. That's called Taluy V'Zavnz. Again, I don't think that person should be honored, you know, with a dinner either. But he's not a Gazel, and he's not a Chamson. Correct? That's Taluy V'Zavnz V'in Yizvin. Chamson is when you take someone's object against their will, but you pay them for it. Gazlan is when you take someone's object, and you don't pay them for it. Right? Now, but Pashto say Chamson still requires you to be taking the other person's object. A mazik doesn't take the other person's object. He destroys the other person's object. When the Lechem Mishnah in Parakeh of Hilchos Chavos Mazik wants to explain why, in his opinion, right, the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Beis, right, Halacha Vav, do we have that here? Distinguishes between, or seems to leave out, mazik, based on the same Ram. We had the Ram already, Perek Hey Chovel, right? Halacha Tess, about Pius, correct? That we discussed last week. I made allusion to it before. That's on page 7. Look at 7-7. Ein adome mazik chaver begufa lemazik memamona. That's what I mentioned before, how he totally reformulated the Mishnah. Shemazik mamun chaver kivin sheshili mashu chayv l'shalim niskaper lo, implying that you need kapara, but you get kapara. Avochovu b'chaver of a pishanasa lo chamisha dvarim ein miskaper lo v'afilu hikrav kol ele nevoyos ein miskaper lo v'lo nimchal avono ad shivakesh v'nech bo v'yimchal. Right? That's the Rambam. Similarly, in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Beis, where is that? Where's Perek Beis? Where's Hilchos Tshuva?
Page
10. Page 10? Whoa. So Perek Aleph has Mazik and Chovel. I mentioned that already. Look at Perek Tshuva, Perek Beis, Halacha Tess. Line 17. Aval Avero Shaven Onim Lechavero. Page 10. Look at 16. Eina Tshuva V'lo Yom HaKippurim Mechaprim Il Avero Shaven Onim Lamakom. Yom Kippur and Tshuva only are effective when the Averos are Ben Adam Lamakom. Kagon Mishachot Dvar Isur Bob Bila Sura Kiyotzavayim. Aval Avero Shaven Onim Lechavero is like a very famous Brisa that the Rambam quotes. Averus ben adam lechaveru kagon. This is where it gets tricky. Hachovel es chaveru, hamakalo chaveru, goes low. Vikayotze bahen, enonim chal ad sheitan lechaveru mashu chayvlo viyiratzeu. Right? Af al pi shehifser lo mamon shu chayvlo, tzorch liratzoso, vilisho mimenu sheyimchalo. You have to also ask forgiveness. You have to appease him. It's not enough to give him back the money. What's missing? Mazik. Well, that's what the Rambam said. Nuchas Chovel is the difference between... That's how he read the Mishnah and Achovel. Very mechudash, right? This very innovative reading of the Mishnah, that it's all about the relationship between Chovel and Mazik. That's where he got it from. Otherwise, there's no real makar, as far as I know, no clear makar that a Mazik requires tshuva and kapara. And there's no real makar that says that he's not chayiv for ritzui. I'm saying in both directions. The Rambam came up with this. That's the dialectic. You know, it's in the shadow of Chovel. Maybe even you violate the Isra of Chovel, diluted fashion. So that you need kapara and tshuva and vidui. That's Perek Aleph because tshuva halacha Aleph. But it's not exactly Chovel, right? So there's no requirement of pius and ritzui. So the Lechem Mishnah, Inuchas Chovel, commenting on this Rambam, Inuchas Tshuva, and the one of Chovel, says the difference is that in Geneva Ugezela, the person benefits. And, he ends up with the money. He does an action, and he acquires the object, and he's Nena Mimenu. But Mazik is just mitzar the other guy. He doesn't get anything from it. Chamas may very well require a tzura, a certain kind of a maisa, lekichas achefetz, not just hefsed mamon, and maybe it requires personal, you know, aggrandizement. I'm saying it's not obvious at all what the Rabbeinu Yakir, you know, says. It's not an obvious read of the Gemara. It's obviously a different girsa. And the conclusion that you're possibly edus is sensational. That's not typically understood that way at all. Now, if you explain that it's a din of Gnevo Gazela, number one, that's exactly what the Gemara says according to that girsa. They call it Gazela. What's also fascinating, however, is if you really want to know the din of Gonev Amanas Lemekad, which appears in Baba Metzia, Samech Aleph, so the Yad Ramah, the She'iltos, a few others, they assume whatever is true for Gneva is true for Gezela. So if Gonev Amanas Lemekad is Aser, then Gozel Amanas Lemekad is Aser too. Okay? However, it's fascinating to note that the Rambam only quotes the din of Gonev Amanas Lemekad in Gneva. Right in the very beginning of Perek Aleph Echos Gneva, only quotes the Gemara Bam Metzia, only says it by Gneva. It's totally omitted in Hilchos Gzela. So now it's an interesting question. You know, there's Gneva, there's Gzela, and then there's, you know, what about Mazik Amanas L'Shalim? Right? Where does that stand? Even according to Rabbeinu Yona, certainly without Rabbeinu Yona. Yeah, there's a question.
Maybe you need to explain why mazik is pasulanidus. Maybe there are two kinds of mazikim. One mazik, the case you're talking about, nobody benefits. But maybe there's a case where the mazik is benefiting.
I mean, the Bach, the Rabbeinu Yakir is not making the distinction.
Maybe that's implicit.
I mean, what happened in this case was that he, the guy burns down the other fellow's field, and he's going to pay for it. He doesn't benefit from it.
He's saving his life. He's saving his life by
who?
Burning down the field. Isn't that Hanoah? David HaMelech, burning down...
No.
By the Ganesh.
That's the previous case.
I saw the previous case.
No. But that's not the case that they're talking about here.
Okay, but what's wrong with that?
He's saying, I want to eat these Ganesh.
You want to destroy your competitor.
Either way, that's not, according to Benu Yakir, who says that he's a Rosh HaDechamas and he's Pasal Eidos, he's not limiting it to that case. Even then, by the way, the issue, I mean, like a Mishnah happens to zero in on the question of being personally Nene. But Pashtus, the difference between Geneva and Gzela on the one hand, and Mazik on the other, isn't because of the personal Hana. Although again, that's not, Rabbeinu Yakir doesn't need that either. It's because there's no Maisa Kinyan, and there's no tzura of Gnevo Gezela. And there's no explicit, you know, pasuk in the Torah that's describing that action. So anyways, the point I'm trying to make is that the idea that mazik and Gnevo and Gezela are connected is a topic, basically. It's a major debate. Now, yeah.
When we refer to a kidnapping, when you refer to it as...
Gonev Nefesh, or something else.
Why not Gezela Nefesh?
So that is the... it just so happens that's a question that is asked in the tshuvas of Rabbi Tzalal Ashkenazi. He says, how come we use the expression gonev nefesh, and that's in the Aseres HaDibros? Lo signov in the Aseres HaDibros is gonevas nefesh. So he says, you should call it sigzol because the victim knows that he's being
kidnapped,
abducted. Well, first of all, not every victim knows that they're being abducted. You know, b'neinu. But, if you're a good abductor, you know, then he doesn't have to know. You know, I don't want to start telling you about all the experiences, but... right, but it's an interesting question, correct? So he answers, there are two fascinating things that he says. Okay, one fascinating thing that he says is that if anybody was Gozel Nefesh, right, it wouldn't be such a big deal. Why? He says, because Kal Yisrael are such Rachmanim that the only real threat is Gnevas Nefesh. If they would know, there would be an immediate pidgin. That's like a great line.
Immediate what?
Pidgin. Pidgin Shvuyim. So he says, the death penalty that is given for Gnevas Nefesh wouldn't be given for Gzeilas Nefesh, because everybody knows where to send the ransom to mount the rescue raid. That's A. But then B says something really nice, and that is, he says, and by the way, who says that the prime victim, which would dictate how we define Gneva or Gzela, is the abductee? It's really his family, and it's Klal Yisrael. They're the ones who are particularly devastated, by his having been taken from them. So from their point of view, it's Gneva, not Gzela. But that's a tshuva Rabbi Tzal Ashkenazi. Okay, let me just say one other thing about this whole Gneva Gzela Mazik idea, and that is as follows. If indeed there is a link between Gneva Gzela on the one hand and Mazik on the other, again, we get into this whole question on Menas Lemekat, Psal Edus, fine. And then, of course, you have your Iser. I should also mention that there's a very interesting Rajba. Rajba and Abbeis, Omid Beis, we'll get to the Gemara hopefully very soon. There's a certain case in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Keren Mechubar, Keren Talush. The Gemara has a certain case where they're not sure what its status would be, and they want to be Machmir, to pay Nezek Shalai. So the Rajba asks the question, we have it here in Abbeis, Omid Beis, on page 1. Line 14. Aval b'mechuberes ema kulam uedasi, says the Rajba, kashale. Adaraba, ema kulatav. There's a case in the Gemara, we're not sure where it should go. The Gemara thought that Karen, right in the Pasuk, is Karen Tlusha. I mean, it's an animal that picks up a horn and, in its mouth or teeth or whatever it is, and gores with it. But Karen b'mechuberes, the horn that's attached to the animal, that's not the case of Karen. So the Gemara says, well, what will be the status? It won't be tam, you won't pay half. You'll pay the whole amount. Mu'edes mitchila. So the Rajba says, kashali adaraba, emakula tamohi, v'shalim chatzin ezek balchud. The kola fuke memona kula lotaveh v'chumra lenitva. The Rajba says, you should always be mekil, because it's motzim mechaver alavaraya. Says the Raj, Rabbi Yeshlomar, Adaraba, Benazikin, Svekididulach, Nakisurin. Actually, not true. It's a Suffolk Iser. Where's the Iser? That's what we've been discussing. Is it Gazelle? Is it some other Iser? Hard to know. It doesn't also, it's not fully consistent with all the Rajbas, but you should know that these are some of the issues involved. The Rab Chaim was of the opinion that every act of Geneva or Gazela has a component of Mazik. I'm not going to go into details because it'll take too long and I wanted to start already the Stash Shavitari, but the Gemara, the Rambam in Hilchos Gazela, Perek Tes, talks about a case, the Ravid understands the Rambam, is talking about a case of Gazelas Avadim, stealing an Eved. And that in certain situations, when you steal an Eved, you have to pay. Gazal Eved v'his kin, if the Eved gets old or something, you have to pay. So, of course, all there's a din of Karkain and Exeles, Avadim Hukshul Karkos. So, Reb Chaim develops the idea that every act of Gzela, where there's a physical act, where it's not Karka, actual Karka, but where you do an action, you remove it from its place, is an act of Hezek. In every Gzela, there's some Mazik. That was Reb Chaim's view. And that's why, even though Avadim Einam Nigzalim, but the Mazik part of Gezela will apply to Avadim. Without going into details, you can look it up. It's a very big motif in Reb Chaim. Gezela includes Mazik. So I always thought that also has tremendous impact on this Rabbeinu Yonah. Every Mazik is Gezela, every Gezela is Mazik, two sides of the same coin. And it goes, especially has impact on a very important topic in Perek Meruba called Tavra Vishasya. The case is, just to know, that a person steals an object, And after he steals it, he destroys it. Right? So the Gemara says like this. If you take an you steal an object, and when you stole it, it's worth a dollar. Right? And then you smash it to smithereens. By the time you smash it, it's worth $4. Right? That's called the din of Tavra v'Shas. You pay according to the later point. You pay according to the higher value when you destroyed it. There's a big debate among the Rishonim, the Achronim. Is Tavra v'Shasya Nezek? Mazik? I mean, it's physically Mazik. You take a hammer and you smash the Ming Vase that you stole. But it's in the context of Gezel. You stole this Ming Vase, right? And now, a month later, or a year later, doesn't matter, you destroy it. You did Mazik after having done Gezel. Is that Gezel or is that Mazik? The Gemara calls it Gezel in Bava Metzia, Daf Mem Gimel. And he also in Gemara in Samachay, in Bava Kama, they treat it like Gezel. But there are some Rishonim who say it's Mazik. The Ksos thinks it's Mazik. There are mixed evidence. So the question is this. In some cases, being Mazik is a Kula. In some cases, it's a Chumrah. In the cases where being Mazik is a Chumrah, so why wouldn't it be Mazik? I mean, it's classic Mazik.
But
the answer is it's partially in your rishos, but it's not fully in your rishos. It's still more. You have to give it back. It's be'en until you destroy it. So in a way, the answer is your junior partner, and the main owner is still the nigzal. Is that enough to remove mazik? Maybe you're right. Or if there's a relationship between mazik and gezel, and they aren't really two totally different categories. In either direction. Now, there's some mazik in gezel, and there's some gezel, you know, in mazik. So then what you might explain is that once you've taken an object, b'toras gezel, right, the mazik part of that, right, is subsumed under the gezel. In other words, if these were two totally different institutions that had nothing to do with each other, that just happened to the same object, you would always be machmir. Why should you ever be making? You do two wrongs, you don't get the... I'm not talking about kabbalah bedraba mina, even kabbalah bedraba mina. Right, you always get the more severe. Right, no one's going to say pay twice the same object. Right, but should you pay betoras this X or betoras Y? If X and Y are two totally different categories, nothing to do with each other, you should pay according to the more chamor of the two. Right, you don't get credit for having done an earlier avera. Right, it doesn't make any sense. So again, your idea makes sense. That's one possibility. The problem with it is, you know, the main owner is still the nigzal. Is that enough? But if you say that it's not X and Y, they're not two different ideas here. Basically, in every mazik, right, there's a nisar gazel, and every gazel, the maisa gzela at least, is a form of mazik. So then, the framework of gazela redefines regular mazik too. It can't get away from the gezel part. Let's say the primary ingredient or iser of every nezek is gezel. Right? So that explains why. It's not that you're being mekel, you know, when you have two totally different independent mechaibim. It's that really, right, this is a continuation of your gezel, which was also already mazik. In a vacuum, you look at it one way. But within a framework of stage one and stage two of the same thing, you have to reassess. So this affects a lot of issues. Okay, we'll leave it at that. There's a lot more to say, but we'll leave it at that. So, just to start reading the Mishnah, I just want to tell you what the first topic is, and then we'll start going straight next time. The Mishnah says that Arba Avos Nezikin, right? And it lists them. We already read the Mishnah. It lists the Avos Nezikin, Arba Avos Nezikin, Ashar Boramava Vahever. We don't know what all those things are. We still have to analyze them. We know that Mava is a major debate. We know the order is a question, and so on. Then we're also told that we need all four categories, because lo arei ashor karei amave, lo arei amave karei ashor, lo zev zesh esh ben ruachayim, karei ha'esh ein ba ruachayim, zechidish and esh, it's not living and breathing, right? It's a... velo zev zesh dark and leil chulahazik, karei bor, there's a special chidish and bor, right? Bor... You walk into a boar, we talked about the Rajba already in boar a little bit, right? A boar doesn't go out and damage. Shane Dark Olilakha, it's not a Shabbat Shabbat, Dark and the Hazak Shmasan Alakha, Kishehizik kavamazik l'sham tashomek nezik meit of art. Misha says, the tzarashava is the concept of a mazik. So one of the things we have to look at very carefully, is not the first topic, that'll be the third topic, is what is the relationship between the first half, the beginning of the Mishnah, and the end of the Mishnah? The beginning of the Mishnah makes it seem like there are four firm categories, and mazik depends, or niske mamon depends on those four categories. Right? And that they are independent, mechaibim. They're different. Each one has its own salient characteristic. The end of the Mishnah seems to say, you know, that we can generalize and genericize the whole thing, right, eliminating any of the specialization of these categories. So that's a big problem. That's a big issue. That's a massive question in Hilchos Nizkeimam. Are we dealing really, in the end of the day, with four categories, or the four categories just identify the ingredients that go into one single general concept of mazik, and maybe a few gzeres akasavs here and there? That's issue number one. Partly that gets discussed by analyzing the relationship between avos and toldos within categories as well. And that's how the Gemara begins. The Gemara says, midik tani avos, right, just so we'll start, mechlal de'ika toldos. By saying the word avos, you imply, right, that there, you know, el toldos Yitzhak ben Avram, Avram holy des Yitzhak, right? So then the question is, toldoseim kiyotzebahen, olav kiyotzebahen. Are the toldos of Nezikin, right, an extension, do they have the same dinim as the avos? Right? Or not? What is the relationship between avos and toldos? And then the Gemara frames the question in the following way. Gabi Shabbos, not avos melachos arboim chasarachas, avos mechaldika toldos. In Shabbos, in Kol Gadol, we have a Mishnah which establishes 39 avos melacha, right, which implies that there are also toldos, which there are, toldosim ki yotzebehen, lo shna avchatas, lo shna toldachatas, lo shna avskila, lo shna toldaskila. All things being equal, we'll discuss it a little bit, we won't get too far afield, hopefully. You know, the toldos have the equal magnitude of the avos. They're both capital crimes. Okay. Umay ika bein av l'tolda. So what's the difference between an av and a tolda in Shabbos? Right, nafkamina di ilu avid shtei avos badari adadi, inami shtei toldos bahari adadi mechayev, avachada vachada, kochada vachada, bilu avid av l'tolda didei, lo mechayev ela chada. Right? If you do an av and a tolda behelem echad, that's one violation. If you do two avos, or an av and a different tolda, or two toldos from a different av, you'll be chayev separately. That's the difference. Then the Gemara says, "Rabbi Lazar, to be chayev a tolda b'makom av, amai korle av, amai korle tolda." We'll discuss this next week. Rabbi Eliezer was of the opinion that if you do an av and a tolda behelam echad, let's say you do zoreya planting and zomer pruning to spur growth. So one is an av, and the other, according to most, pretty much everybody, zomer at least, is a tolda. So Rabbi Eliezer, with the opinion that you're chayv shtayim, we don't paskin that way. So what's the difference according to him, av and tolda? The answer is tolda. I'm sorry. Hachtav b'mishkan chashiva kori av, hachtal av b'mishkan chashiva kori tolda. It's whatever was in the mishkan. We'll talk about it next week. I just want to get the framed question first. Then the Gemara says, gabe tuma tnan avos atumos hasheretz hashechazer. We also have avos and tumos in another category of halacha, and that is tuma, right? Shechvazera, sheretz, tmei meis, there, toldosayim, clearly, are lav kiyotze bahen, right? The toldos of tuma, which are of a completely, as Mepharshim point out, different type anyway. That's in avos and toldos of Shabbos, and in avos and toldos of Nezikin. You're not talking about, you know, an actual process where the avos produce the toldos, right, and that the toldos is a dilution of the ab, and we want to know how much of a dilution. In tuma, we're actually talking about, you know, the transmission of tuma, you know, in a primary, secondary, you know, and so on and so forth way. So it's very different notions, but they're still called ab and tolda. And there, told same lav kiyotze, dilu av metame adam vekelim, dilu toldos ochel amashu metame, adam vekelim lo metame. Right? A tolda cannot be metame adam vekelim. So then the question is, hachamai, amar papa yesh mem kiyotzebahen, yesh mem lav kiyotzebahen. What about avos? If you have two paradigms, av and tolda, in the world of tuma, there's a dilution. In the world of Shabbos, mostly it's static, it's the same. The categories are the same. What about Avos and Zik? So I want to pick up with this next time. First, talk very briefly, since it's here, there are a few very famous things about Shabbos, but we'll just do a very, very quick, and a little bit about Tumah. But especially, we want to get into the question of Avos and Toldos and Zik, because that really goes to the heart of whether there are really four categories to begin with, or there's only one idea behind Niske Mamo. Okay.